Welcome, welcome, welcome. You've just tuned in to the most resilient podcast on the airwaves. Your host, Chef Hayes, and this is Resilient Layers. On this show, we dive deep into the layers of life, exploring resilience in every slice of human experience. From overcoming adversity to celebrating triumphs, we're here to show you that life is a multi-layered cake. And even if you burn the bottom layer, there's always more to savor. So grab your apron and a fork, relax your mind, and open your heart as we learn not to burn our cakes. This is Resilient Layers.
You know, as I was just sitting here thinking, as I was just listening to the intro, I realized something special about resilient layers. When you really think about a cake, cake ain't nothing but a bunch of ingredients that refuse to give up. Think about that for a second. Like, it literally took some flour, some butter, some sugar, vanilla extract, whatever flavor you wanted, and like all these individual things had to come together. It had to be beaten, stirred up, mixed together. You know what I'm saying? And then it's placed in a hot oven. But yet, when that oven beeps and it's time to pull out that cake, something special happens. See, because I believe life is the same way. See, many of us have been through trials and tribulations. Like, many of us have experienced these traumatic experiences, right? But yet, we find a way to keep showing up and showing everything and showing the world that, hey, here I am. Despite what I go through, here I am. And that's what I love about life, man. That's what I love about my life. It's almost like no matter what I go through, there's a way, there's a mindset of saying, you know what? Hey, I am the chef today, and today I got to use this ingredient. This ain't nothing but an episode of Chop. I got to use this ingredient to make sure that I continue to live the life that I want to live. I will not be defined by life. Instead, I'm going to define my life by how I respond to my trials and tribulations. Now that I got your attention, man, I'm so glad that you're tuning in today. I'm glad that you're allowing me the opportunity to pour into you, because there's so many people, there's so many things that you could have been doing, there's so many people that you could have been listening to, but you chose to tune in to another episode of Resilient Layers, where we have these real conversations. You know, y'all know my segment by now. When it's just me, hey, we get straight to the point. We get you out the day. You know, we get you out the way, right? When I got guests, guess what? You come in, we handle what we got to handle. We're going to do what we do. We're going to break bread. And I got some fantastic guests coming. Like, I'm so excited for y'all. When y'all see these guests, you're going to be like, dang, Shot, how you know them? Resiliency, baby. That's the thing that connects us. Whether you're a millionaire, whether you broke, whatever the case may be, that's the one thing that connects us, our ability to be resilient. So let's get into it. Story time! Listen, man, if you know me now, if you heard me speak, I'm sure you heard a piece of this story. And so I want to really just go into details about some things, and I may jump around, but I really just want to talk about an 18-year-old boy that had to make a decision. And I called myself a boy at that time because I was not a man. I didn't really understand what some of the stuff I was going through, but it was just like I was just trying to get through. Like, I saw my family's life, and I realized, like, yo, no offense to nobody, but I didn't want to just be settling for that. Like, I wanted to live life on my own terms. But instead of asking them, hey, how can I have a better life? Yo, how can I improve this? Hey, how can I do this? I just try to do it my own way. And what I end up doing, what I find myself doing, is put myself in these positions where I didn't really understand how to use all of the ingredients correctly. Like, if you give a baby some flour, that baby just going to look at you and think it's something to either play with, or they're going to taste it and realize it's nasty. Like, they're not going to know that you can bake stuff with it. They're not going to know that you can coat stuff with it. Like, they're not going to understand that. but that baby also didn't have the capacity to ask you, hey, what do I do with this? And that was my struggle. You know, I grew up in a situation where, you know, my parents was just trying to do the best they could based off their own struggles. So if mom and dad, stepmom, man, like if y'all listen to this, I know y'all did the best y'all could, man, and I love y'all. But just know your son, I can't say baby boy because I'm the oldest, but your son, he figured it out. And now I'm trying to help the world figure it out. So listen, let's get into it, man. So here I am again, 18 years old, made a decision to further my education at Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina. And look, to my BC people, if you following me, hey, if you listening right now, BC, BC, you know, look, man, I may not have finished that BC, but BC, Benedict College, will always hold a special place in my heart, man. It taught me so much about life. And so I got to give y'all a quick shout out, man. I ain't forget about y'all. But on the real note, man, as I signed to go play college football, I never forget my freshman year. I get there. I'm excited, right? I'm in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm in a whole nother city, in a whole nother state, and I'm about 8 hours away from home. And at that time, man, like I grew up in a small town, and yeah, everybody knew who I was, but it's one thing to be popular there, but it's another to put yourself in another state and have to reinvent yourself. And that's what I had to do at Benedict College. Like, not in the way of being something I wasn't, but it was a sense of, hey, these people don't know me. So I got to make sure that I remain true to myself so they can get to know me, right? And so I get to BC, man, I'm enjoying it. Like, I quickly connect with people. Like, you know, I used to hang out with a group. They called us the Bama Boys. We was all from Bama. But we had that one thing in common, Bama Boys. And so we would hang close, hanging with the football team, like building that family. And as I got there, I kind of noticed something. Why do I still feel empty? Why do I still feel like I'm missing something? And so as football going on, man, we're waking up at 5 a.m. We're hitting the field. We're doing all this running. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you're a high school athlete right now, what you think you know when you're going to college, you don't know. You're not prepared. You got to start preparing. You got to do even more, right? Because I got there thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be fine. This is going to be easy. Cakewalk. Man, I'll never forget, man, my first day of practice, we backpedaled so much, I couldn't even walk. But as I went through this process, right, I started again to feel like, why do I still feel so empty? You know, freshman year didn't go the way I wanted it went. It didn't go the way I wanted it to. Like, I was good in the classroom. On the field, I'm showing that I'm worthy of playing, but I don't even know where I stand, right? So I'm still like, all right, cool, I just wait my time. And then I started to doubt myself, and I said, you know what, man? Why they even got me here? They don't want me here. So I decided, you know what? I don't even want to be here. Let's transfer. So I started looking at schools, right? So I started thinking, all right, where can I go that has a struggling football team that I can come in, I can earn a scholarship? Because my parents couldn't afford to send me to college. Either I had to have a scholarship or I had to figure out how to pay for school myself. And so I did what I had to do, right? I had the full ride. I was on academic and I was on athletic. So it was full ride. I ain't have to come out of pocket for nothing. I was good. But here I am thinking about giving it all up to go bet on myself and walk on to a team or a bigger school, right? Where I feel like I can fix this emptiness. And so as I'm looking at these schools, right, I'm looking at, all right, I can't go to Bama. Because I want to go somewhere I can play. And I, you know, again, I didn't have that confidence like I do as a speaker. So I'm like, nah, I can't compete with Bama, so I ain't going to go to Bama. Can't really do Auburn. Nah. UAB? Yeah, I can do UAB. I look at the record. Wasn't a good team. I started looking at positions. All right, cool. He's a junior. He's a senior. All right, who will I have to compete with? Like, I really start breaking it down, trying to figure out, yo, what is going to be my plan? Like, how am I going to do this? What is this going to look like? And before you know it, I made the announcement that I'm transferring to UAB. I get accepted. I get to UAB. I go through this process. And it's like a breath of fresh air, right? Because it's like, dang, this is different. Like, if you ever been to an HBCU, and again, I'm not bashing nothing, but like, when you go from one culture to another culture, you start to kind of see the differences, right? And I'm not going to lie, I was able to thrive in both. But what I didn't understand, and that I understand now, is that at that point in life, I didn't know how to use all the ingredients when I was at my HBCU. Hell, I'm going to be honest. I didn't know how to use my ingredients when I was at my PWI. I didn't know. But the one thing life taught me, it taught me quickly how to use it. So as I give up my scholarship, my parents, man, my dad, I'll never forget it. He said, man, you make a grown man decision, you got to deal with the grown man consequences. I went from not having to pay for housing to now I'm paying for housing, right? I'm not staying on campus. I'm staying in the little student apartments. I think at that time my rent was like $450 a month. I think that sounds all right. This was 2013. So yeah, about $450 a month. That sounds about right. And so I had two other roommates, you know, we splitting it. Again, I pay $450, they pay $450. The other guy pay $450, right? So as we're going through this process, man, now I realize, man, in order for me to pay these bills, I gotta get a job. So I started working as a barista. A barista at Barnes & Noble. It had a Starbucks cafe inside, man. So here I am, this buff dude, now I'm selling coffee. Trying to do what I got to do. But my mindset was, hey, I still get to play football, so I'm not worried about it. I'm going to walk on to the team. Then it got a little deeper. It got a little deeper, right? Because then I started saying to myself, well, hold on now. If bills got to get paid, well, maybe I need to just take a year to just work on my craft and, like, work on my skills, but then also try to stack up some money so then that way I can try to walk on and earn a scholarship and then still have money to pay for the bills, right? Like, I had it all planned out. All planned out. But then one day as I'm on campus, I started to hear rumors that the team was on the verge of getting cut. And so I'm like, what? Nah, man, I can't even do that to myself. And so I decided, you know what? Maybe it's my time to walk away. And next thing you know, man, the team gets cut. Devastated. Now, granted, you know, some people can say that was a blessing because I didn't even get a chance to walk on to the team. But I'm going to say it wasn't really a blessing because it made me look at, damn, did I just regret leaving something where I knew I had an opportunity in the spot on the team? I knew I was on scholarship. Like, all I had to do was be a football player and an athlete. Now here I am in a position where I'm not a football player anymore. I'm a full-time student, and now here I am trying to work to survive. All because I didn't know how to utilize the ingredients when I was in those positions. And so as everything goes on, I'm finally getting in the groove. I'm working at Party City now to supplement my income at Barnes & Noble. And so I'm doing all these things. I'm working full-time. I'm full-time student. Well, you could say I was working full-time, but I just had two part-time jobs to where I would go to one part-time job, and then I would get off and go to the other. It wasn't no days off. I did what I had to do to survive. Like I said, now I'm living the life. I finally, as I elevate, I had a rule back then. I give you a year at a job and I'm moving on. So I did a year at Barnes & Noble and I moved on to, I started working at, Banana Republic, right? I did a year at Banana Republic. All right. Then I moved on to selling jewelry. Now I ain't do a year selling jewelry. That was a whole nother. I was good at selling, but I ain't like how they commission pay was. So I was like, nah, I got to go. So next thing I know, I found myself working at a cable company, at a call center. I'm full time now. And so now I would go to class and then I would go to work from 3 to 11. Repeat the cycle. And next thing I know, as I get through this process, right, I'm starting to realize something. Like, I'm starting to have these sweats, but I'm just thinking, man, I'm stressed out. I got so much going on. It ain't nothing. I'll be all right. Again, man, I was an athlete. I'm in the best shape of my life. And before you know it, as I go through this process, man, one morning I just kind of wake up and I feel a little funny. I go to use the bathroom and I notice, man, it's a little blood in the bathroom. So it kind of freaked me out. I'm not going to lie. So I did what any other person would do. I called my mom. So in particular, I called my stepmom and I'm like, hey, son ain't right. And over the phone, she said, baby, you should go to the emergency room. And at this time, again, being an athlete, I ain't even have no PCP at that time. Because, I mean, what can you tell me? Like, do you not see these muscles? Man, whatever. So I didn't have no PCP. Before you know it, man, as I go through this process, I go into the emergency room with a sense of arrogance. Because I'm like, man, I'm going to be here, but I'm going to be out in like 15 minutes. This ain't going to be nothing. So, like, I get in. They put me in the room. I got my feet kicked up, listening to ESPN, just vibing out, right? Doctor come in, tell me he need to run some tests on me. We do some tests in the room, and then he tells me, hey, we need to do a PET scan. So I'm like, all right, cool. He takes me in, I go sit on this table, right? And this table's telling me, breathe in. Hold your breath. Breathe out. So as I continue to listen and I follow the instructions of what this table is telling me, as I'm going through this process, I'm now sitting back like, what's going on? You feel me? Like, this taking longer than expected, right? So I get out of this, they roll me to the back to my room. As I'm sitting back, the doctors did a magic trick, right? Because instead of one doctor, this time it was two. And at that moment, I knew something wasn't right. And so he comes to me. He touches my leg and he says, Mr. Hayes, we got to admit you. We think you may have cancer. Like when you did your PET scan, like your stomach, like lit up like a Christmas tree. And I'm sitting here like, man, you can't be talking about me. Can't be talking about me. And so, man, I proceed to get admitted to the hospital. And I remember calling my parents. And again, I'm still conceited and cocky. And I'm like, yo, I'm in the hospital, but I'm good. Y'all ain't even got to come up here. I'm going to be all right. Well, man, next thing I know, man, I ended up being in that hospital for about a week. And I wasn't all right. Like, I remember waking up 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, these doctors all standing around me, drawing blood, trying to figure out what's going on with me. And I'm sitting here like, yo, what? I don't even know what's happening. And then I never forget, you know, at this hospital in particular, there was a board on the door, right? Oh, excuse me. There was a board on the wall and it simply says oncology. So I do what anybody else would do. And I ask Siri, yo, what's oncology? And so as it starts to break down, I'm like, nah, bro, you got the wrong person. I can't be it. You can't be talking to me. And as it's telling me that oncology is the study of cancer, I'm in denial. I'm like, nah, bro, it ain't me. Doctor comes in, oncologist comes in, great guy, shakes my hands, tell me, hey, this is what's going on. We suspect this may be a thing. We need to do a surgery so we can figure out, confirm or deny. Say less, boss. Let's do what we do. I get put to sleep. They blow my stomach up, take some tissue out. All right, put everything back together. Boom. December 15th, 2015, the day before my birthday, he calls me and says, hey, Mr. Hayes, you ain't got nothing to worry about. We didn't find anything on the tissue. You good to go, brother. At that moment, I didn't care why I was in the hospital for a week. I didn't care about none of that. All I know is I was free. I'm free? Oh, I'm gone. And as I go through this process, right, as I reflect on it, I realize something. I didn't even allow myself to feel what I felt. I was just too busy trying to get the hell up out of there. And I was so free to get out. I'm like, cool, bam. So now I got this month to try to recover, right, from this surgery. February 2016 come around. My mom calls me. Stepmom calls me and says, hey, son, the doctors called me, said they're trying to reach you, and they haven't been able to reach you. And I'm like, man, mama, ain't nobody calling me. But I said, don't worry, mama, I'll give him a call back. So I give him a call back, and the lady tells me, hey, we want to see you again.
Can you come by the office?
I get to the office. As I get to the office, man, it really hit me at this moment that I was going through this again. And the doctor tells me, hey, we need to do another surgery. We didn't get enough tissue. So this time we're going to cut you 5 inches up from your belly button, grab what we need to grab so we can send it off and make sure that it's not cancer. Before you know it, I do the surgery. Immediately I get a call. Hey, Mr. Hayes, we got to start you on chemotherapy. We need to get a port in your chest. It's follicular lymphoma, and we need to act fast. We need to attack this. My whole world got turned upside down. You mean to tell me I went from being an athlete to now fighting for my life? Like, you mean to tell me that I did everything right that I thought, and yet I'm still getting punished? All I wanted to do was create a better life for myself and my future family. All I wanted to do was to break the generational cycles that had my parents in the chokehold. Like, all I wanted to do was show my siblings that there's more that you can do, and now you're going to put cancer on my plate? Immediately, I started chemotherapy. Went through a regimen called R-CHOP. And I thought I had cancer beat, right? Like, I thought I had this plan that I was going to shave my head so then my hair couldn't fall out. And guess what happened? My hair didn't fall out. But I didn't know I was going to lose my eyebrows. And my hair ain't grow back. And so here I am, suicidal. Ready to end it all. Because what I thought I knew didn't exist. And now God has thrown all these new ingredients to me, and I got to figure out, yo, how do I even use this? I don't even know what to do with this. And so I found myself on Facebook. And I started telling my story. And I noticed it started going viral. People started saying, hey, you so strong. Hey, you this. Hey, you that. Not realizing that I was faking it till I made it. But then I started to discover that I had a story to tell. And as I started telling my story, most people started reaching out to me, started asking me, hey, do you speak? Like, hey, what's your fee? And at that time, I didn't know no better. 200. I'll be there. And I'll never forget, man, the very first person that gave me my, and God, man, may you rest in peace. My good friend, Matt Rogers, man, my brother. Love you to death, brother. Love you to death, brother. But my good friend, Matt Rogers, man, he gave me my first opportunity to speak. I had just went through chemotherapy. I was on the other side of it. He called me and said, hey, I want you to come speak. And I drove down to Enterprise, Alabama, and I spoke in front of a staff. And it went well. And that let me know what I can become. That was 2016. Now, I tell you this story, not to discourage you, but to let you know that until you learn to use the ingredients in your life, you're going to always feel like you're inadequate. You're going to always feel like you don't belong. See, the beautiful thing about resilience is not about what you overcame. It's about you sitting back and understanding, how can I use this to add this up to a piece of my life that may not define who I am, but to give me that edge that I need that separates me from anybody else, so I can show the world that despite what you throw at me, no matter what I go through, I'm going to stand on a mountain and say, adversity, you ain't dealing with just a regular person. You're dealing with me. See, when I walk around now, adversity takes off running because they know I'm battle tested, man. And that's all I want you to do with this podcast, man. So if you don't hear nothing else I say today, if you have to start to understand that everything you go through is an ingredient. And whether you decide to use it or not will determine how long you stay in that shit. Excuse my French, man. Because I'm tired of people talking about, oh, my life is so hard. You know you got the power to make it better, right? You just got to figure out what you're going to do with it. Because if God allowed me to take cancer and create a platform where now I go and I travel the country, the world is next. I travel the country and I make a difference. Imagine what he gonna do for you when you learn to use your pain and become the person that you desire to be, man. Listen, man, let's go ahead and cool off a little bit, man. So listen, if you're on social media, man, be sure to follow me at Rashad Hayes Speaks. That's IG, that's TikTok. Facebook, Rashad Hayes. Website, RashadHayesSpeaks.com. Stay connected with me, man. Because as we grow, like I want to sit back and say, man, I remember when so-and-so followed me for the first time. And now here we are with 1 million subscribers and look at us now. See, because I'm going to keep dropping nuggets. I just need you to keep showing up for yourself, all right? So this has been another episode of Resilient Lyrics. We're going to conclude. But just know, don't burn your cake. Peace and love, man. Let's get it. Man, that was a good episode.